The World This Week.
I leave tonight on a new mission in the service of the oldest of human dreams, the dream of peace.
President Carter embarks for Egypt and Israel in search of that dream, while in Iran, revolutionaries rebel. Iranian women by the tens of thousands, unhappy with the return to strict Muslim tradition. In the Midwest, Republicans gathered, looking to 1980, and Senator Baker likes what he sees.
The country's singing our song.
And in the Far East, China promises withdrawal. Vietnam calls it a ruse. I'm David Jackson, CBS News, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. President Carter this week walked the Middle East tightrope, first in Egypt, where, in addition to private sessions with President Sadat, he went before the Egyptian parliament with a plea for peace and praise for the Sadat initiative begun some 16 months ago.
More has been accomplished in 1 year of talking than in 30 years of fighting.
And his host used familiar diplomatic terms to describe what progress had been made.
We had a very fruitful talk. Exactly, President Carter stated, we have overcome some of the difficulties, some other issues are to be settled.
But no details, and in Jerusalem, Menachem Begin said, even if the Egyptians reject Israeli-approved U.S. proposals for a peace treaty, there still may be hope.
In politics, never say never. And therefore, if the Egyptians should answer no, it is not an error.
Correspondent Reed Collins has been covering Mr. Carter's journey throughout.
Touring Egypt with Sadat at his side, the American president was impressed by the fervor of Egyptians along the motorcade routes. They brought palm fronds and signs saying, "We trust Carter," and President Sadat at every public opportunity praised his guest in pharaohic terms. "Progress for sure," said Sadat. The Israeli reception was cooler. Prime Minister Begin said nothing at the airport, leaving the speech-making to the Israeli President Navon. On the road to Jerusalem, an egg spattered the limousine. Intense private negotiation began Sunday, and the stage for the final act was set. The Israeli cabinet would meet in what Prime Minister Begin called nocturnal sessions, Sunday night and Monday morning. Mr. Carter would have his answers to his proposals and those he transmitted from Sadat at another meeting with the cabinet early Monday. The White House remained absolutely silent on the point, but Prime Minister Begin said he assumes that what the Israeli cabinet says early Monday will send Secretary of State Cyrus Vance flying back to Egypt. The big announcement should come early Monday when President Carter and Prime Minister Begin address the Israeli parliament. Reed Collins, CBS News, Jerusalem.
In his commentary this week, Rod McLeish suggests that the White House, in its push for peace, may be pushing too hard.
The trouble with President Carter's Mideast rescue mission appears to be its sense of time. The theory that it was now or never for an Egyptian-Israeli peace treaty. A great deal has changed since President Sadat came to Jerusalem in November 1977. The Baghdad Conference of Arab States denounced Sadat as a renegade. Saudi Arabia edged farther away from the Egyptian regime she has publicly bankrolled and privately encouraged. The Shah was driven into exile from Iran, and a new wave of Islamic fundamentalism swept through the Arab world. Reacting to all of this, President Sadat changed his terms for a peace treaty with Israel in order to keep himself within the Arab world. President Carter tried to negotiate the changes. Israel seems to have been unable to go as far as the Egyptians and the Americans wished. Within that shifting scenario, the White House suddenly created an imperative sense of time, that now-or-never psychology. It was a tactic to bring pressure on both sides, but it may have backfired to the detriment of the whole Middle Eastern peace process. Rod McLeish, CBS News, New York.
There was anything but peace this week in Iran, tens of thousands of angry women staging mass demonstrations in Tehran. The story from Don Cladstrup.
What touched off the demonstrations was a statement by Ayatollah Khomeini that women should wear traditional Muslim clothes, the black chador and veil, if they work in government ministries. Thousands of women, in turn, took to the streets, chanting death to dictatorship and vowing to wear anything they like. They are demanding complete equality with men and equal participation in the social and political affairs of the country. Their demonstrations have met with resistance from men opposed to the women's movement, and some women reportedly have been shot and beaten in scuffles. Ayatollah Khomeini has ordered armed militiamen to protect the women and warned that anyone who insults the women in the name of the revolution will be punished. Another problem facing the Muslim leader is Prime Minister Bazargan, who reportedly has submitted his resignation twice. Both times, Khomeini has refused to accept it. Bazargan is said to feel that his job is being undermined by the myriad of local revolutionary comités which are running the affairs of the country. Sources close to the prime minister say he has resigned, but other sources, just as close, say he hasn't. Bazargan has made no public comment. Don Gladstrup, CBS News, Tehran.
A look at the war in Indochina when the world this week continues in 1 minute.
I did not either. You're crazy.
Aw, man, don't give me that. Hey, who's that guy over there with the dog?
Oh, that's Mr. Kessler. Mr. Kessler!
Hello, gentlemen. Pugsley, say hello.
Mr. Kessler had a heart attack last Christmas. Says that's why he's out with Pugsley every night.
What for?
He's got exercise. Build his heart back up.
How do you know all that?
My mom is a volunteer for the Heart Association. She told me.
Well, he doesn't look sick to me at all.
People are successfully recovering from heart attacks in far greater numbers today than ever before. The American Heart Association has fought long and hard against heart disease, funding important heart research, developing emergency rescue procedures, and establishing guidelines for the rehabilitation of heart attack victims. But the fight is far from over. Supporting the American Heart Association is like a long-term investment in your future. We're fighting for your life.
A pullout of Vietnam perhaps proving as difficult for the Chinese now as it was for Americans a few short years ago. Peter Collins has a report from our listening post in Hong Kong.
The week began with China announcing that it was withdrawing its forces from Vietnam. A statement issued Monday said China had achieved its objective of teaching Vietnam a lesson, and it invited Hanoi to open negotiations on border issues. The Vietnamese remained silent for a day, but then responded with a surprisingly mild statement, saying that Hanoi was ready to talk as soon as the last Chinese troops were withdrawn across the border. Fighting tapered off as intelligence sources confirmed that the Chinese were, in fact, pulling back. But the pace of the withdrawal was not fast enough for Hanoi. As the week ended, it was angrily accusing Peking of deliberately delaying the withdrawal, and Chinese troops were accused of looting and plundering as they went. And from Peking, there came hints the Chinese might not withdraw completely, setting the stage for tough negotiations or possibly even more fighting in the weeks ahead. Peter Collins, CBS News, Hong Kong.
The New Orleans police strike ended this week, the union saying the financial strain too great on the men, the department officials openly gloated. GOP presidential hopefuls this week descended upon the Midwestern Republican Leadership Conference in Indianapolis. A CBS News poll showed the delegates' first choice is former governor, former cabinet member, former Democrat John Conley, who wasted no time attacking the current Democratic administration.
This great nation, helpless, the strongest, most powerful nation on earth, let me simply say to you that the Soviets are filling a vacuum because of the lack of leadership, because of the lack of a coherent, constant, consistent program that we're prepared to defend.
And the word of the week from U.S. space scientists was spectacular as the space probe Voyager 1 took a close look at Jupiter. Then, surprise, Voyager found a ring around the planet, and Voyager 2 will take a closer look in 4 months. The world this week. Produced by Harry Polosian, I'm David Jackson, CBS News.